الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله جعل لكم من بيوتكم سكنا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نحل والد ولدا من نحل أفضل من أدب حسن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Most respected ulama ikram, elders and dear brothers, not last week, the week before, we had commenced a discussion on how to make a home, a dream home. 2 weeks ago, we were discussing how to make a home, a dream home. We didn't complete the discussion, inshallah we'll complete it today. But before we continue with today's portion, just to recap on what we mentioned 2 weeks ago, for the benefit of those who are not here, that normally in English there is a saying, home sweet home, or home is where the heart is. So we understand from this, that there is a difference between a house and a home. A house generally refers to a structure, to a building that is made up of blocks or bricks, and it is cemented, joined together with cement, mortar, etc. That's a structure. A home is a sanctuary. A home is a place where a person finds peace, contentment, happiness. And a home is made up of household members and individuals who are cemented and bonded together by mutual feelings of love, compassion, care, happiness, and comfort to each other. That's why we also mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَاللَّهُ جَعَلْ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your homes a place of comfort for you. So we also mentioned that one of the words that comes in the Arabic language for house, for home, is maskan, and which is derived from sukoon, which means peace and happiness and contentment and comfort, a tranquil feeling. So then we mentioned that if a person is not feeling this tranquil, peaceful, happy feeling in his home, but rather he is always beset with difficulties, discomfort, and there is a darkness shrouding his home all the time of disagreement, fighting, misunderstandings, etc., then a person has to check and work on making his home a dream home. And then we also mentioned that making your home a dream home doesn't cost much. It just costs a little change, not monetary change, but it costs a little change in our lifestyle. Bringing our lifestyle according to the dictates of Sharia and bringing the Mubarak, blessed Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam alive in our homes. When the home is moving on the way and the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shown to us by the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that home will be a true dream home with comfort, tranquility and happiness, things that money cannot buy. And then we gave some points, different suggestions, ulama explained, of how we can make these little changes to make this home a dream home. So we spoke about when a person enters the home, then a person should enter the home in a cheerful way, with a cheerful countenance, not bringing his whole day's baggage of problems and issues that he had at work and whatever disagreement he may have had with his boss, etc., and bring all that baggage and come in the house and offload it on his innocent wife and children. That was the first thing, coming in a cheerful way. Then we also mentioned that we should make dua, read Bismillah, take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when entering the home. Because when a person takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reads Bismillah when he enters the home, then shaitan says to his members, to his men, that there's no place for you to stay here. Otherwise, if a person enters his home without taking the name of Allah, then shaitan and his men they come and seek accommodation in our home. So how are we going to have peace in that home when it's being shared with shaitan and his people? Then we also mentioned making salam when entering the home, making salam to those that are in the home with a loving, in a loving manner, in a manner expressing muhabbat and care and compassion for the household members. To make salam is a means of bringing barakah for oneself and bringing barakah to the household members, the people at home. Then we spoke about eating time. So one was entering the home, then the next thing we spoke about is eating time, is the next major occurrence that happens when the husband comes home. We spoke about eating together. Eating together meaning eating at one time. In many instances we mentioned that unnecessarily the family members don't eat together. The children come and eat when they feel like, the parents will eat, the husband will eat when he wants because he may have had his own commitments, the wife will eat when she wants because there's nobody to eat with her. So eating time should be at one time, and we mentioned that from the Hadith Sharif. We also understand that when the family eats together, where the people eat together, then there is barakah in that food also. Then we also said about taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting Bismillah and the Masnoon du'as at the time of eating. This is also a means of barakah and also a means of protection from shaitan and his men. Because when a person takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan says to his men that there is no supper, no food for you here. Whereas when a person doesn't take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan and his men are sharing in our food. And if they are on our dasturkhan sharing our food, obviously we cannot expect happiness. Then we also mentioned about sharing, eating from one utensil. At least the husband and wife, as was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used to sip, try to place his mubarak lips on the same place where Aisha radiallahu anhu used to drink from, to engender love between the spouses. So at least the husband and wife should try to eat from one plate, one thari. Or even better than that is that the family can eat from one tray, one thari, like how it used to be done before. This also engenders love and muhabba. And then we mentioned about complimenting, that the husband should compliment his wife for the effort that she took. He should compliment her. She will feel happy. She will feel appreciated. But you should just remember one thing. Make sure you compliment on the right day. Once there was a man, he heard a bayan like this in a masjid. The Maulana was saying, must compliment your wife when she cooks. So he went home, she put the supper down, he ate the food, and then he's going on praising the food and complimenting her. Then to his shock, instead of bringing a smile on her face and her being happy, she bursts into tears and she's crying. She's crying uncontrollably. Now this man is thinking, I heard the right thing in the masjid. Maulana said the right thing, I said the wrong thing. Now he tried to calm her down, get some composure in her. Then he asked her, what's wrong? He says, no, every day when I cook the food, you never ever praise me. Today the neighbor's wife sent the food, your praises can't stop. So make sure you compliment on the right day also. That's just on a lighter note. Okay, then continuing with the next point is family time. Family time, we mentioned, plays a very, very important role in the home because it is bonding time. It is a time when the father and the mother can recognize and understand what is going through the minds of their children. Firstly, the spouses can learn to appreciate each other and understand what each other's needs are, what each other's feelings are, what each other's thoughts are. And it is a very important time where parents can correct wrong ideologies, misconceptions that may have crept into their children's thought systems, into their children's minds, what they may have learned with their friends, what they may have learned in school, etc. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shouldered the greatest responsibility of bringing hidayat to the ummah, and he had the greatest fikr and concern for the hidayat of every human being. However, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his home, he was like a normal man. He spent time with his wife, with his honorable wives. They felt comfortable with him. They could converse with him. He could converse with them. He spent time with the children, and he had a demeanor, different demeanor with the children, and a different demeanor with adults. He would play with the children, he would carry them, he would hug them, and he would show love to them. We sometimes feel that we have too many important tasks, and our work is too important, and we have too many things on our mind, that we don't have time to share with our family and spend our time with our family. We should remember that if we, as the husband, or the wife, also the mother, if we don't show that time and don't give them that time, our children that time, to be able to relate to us, to talk to us, and to ask us what is going on in their minds, to clarify things that they may be thinking of, then they are going to turn to their friends, they are going to turn to the wrong avenues, and they're going to get this attention somewhere else, for which we will regret later on. And in a similar manner, if the husband shows neglect to his wife and vice versa, then Allah forbid, the spouses mustn't go and try and find attention somewhere else where it's haram. So this family time is a very important time where the family appreciates each other and builds these bonds and cements these bonds. And for this also, we mentioned a few things which we'll repeat today and continue with the new discussion. One we mentioned was that this family time, one factor that can be added in here is ta'lim and imparting deen to the family, imparting deen to the children. We said that imparting deen to the children is not the responsibility of the ustad, it is not the responsibility of the molana in the madrasa or the apa in the maktab. It is the responsibility of every parent. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us on the day of qiyamah. Every one of us as the father figure, the head of the home, is responsible for the family unit. So we have to be concerned about sharing and teaching dini values to our children. And for this we said few simple suggestions. One is ta'lim of the kitabs of Fazail, Fazail Amal, Fazail Sadaqat. These books, these kitabs have a wealth of ahadith and virtues for different good deeds. When the child is hearing the Mubarak words of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he is listening to the virtue, whether it be salah, whether it be zikr, whether it be tilawat, then his heart is going to become inclined to do these amal. We also spoke about reading good stories to them, stories of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and our pious predecessors, and extracting good models and teaching them those models. Children take to stories, and they learn lessons from stories. And obviously, if the house is an environment of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the Mubarak Hadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are falling on the ears of the children, what better environment can there be for them? We also spoke about setting aside some time in the home for tilawat, for zikrullah, and for dua. That collectively, there should be some time where the family sits together, recite some Quran Sharif, make some zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe the third kalima, istighfar, durood sharif, and sit and make dua together. So the children also learn that there is something like this that has to be carried out in our lives. Because when they grow up, it must not be that they don't know that there is such a thing like this. And also, we learn from the Hadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the house in which the Quran Sharif is recited, then that house is full of barakah and blessings. And it is thronged by the malaika, and the shayateen go away from there. And that house in which the Quran Sharif is not recited, then that home becomes quiet. And the malaika leave, and the shayateen take their place. So if the shayateen are full in our house, we'll take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we enter. We don't take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we eat. We don't practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring the nur of the sunnah alive in our homes. There is no recitation of Quran Sharif. There is no zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking place in that home. Then what hope can we have for love and muhabba and engendering these good feelings towards each other when the shayateen will be filling up that void? Another important part and aspect of family time is speaking and engaging. There should be some time where the father, the mother speak to the children. They talk to the children so they can understand what is going on in the minds of their children. Many a time a child picks up something from his friend, he learns something from school, something that is not correct, something that is not in accordance to the tarbiyat and the teachings that the father and mother are giving in their home. And if we leave it to lie, it will sink into the mind of the child and the child will think that is correct. That is because we don't spend time talking to them. We should talk to them so we know, we should ask them, what happened, how was school, how was madrasa, what did you learn, when you talk to them and engage with them and spend that time in discussion with them, then you will be able to understand them and you will be able to rectify them before it becomes too late. Another time, another aspect that can be considered with regards to family time is sabak and homework time. Sabak and homework time, besides the fact that it will engender love, engender muhabbat between the parents and their children. Obviously, this must be done in a manner of love and affection. It must not be like the sabak time and the homework time is a punishment time. It must be done in a way of muhabbat and love, so that this also becomes a bonding exercise, and greater than a bonding exercise, especially when it comes to schoolwork, obviously not madrasa work, when it comes to schoolwork, father and mother will be able to exactly see what is being filled into your child's mind at the school. What your child is being taught in the school, you will be able to see that. If it's correct, then you will be able to explain to them and teach them that if they don't understand. If it's incorrect, if they are being taught some incorrect values, some incorrect ideologies, things that are not in conformity with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will pick it up and you will be able to correct it, rectify it, or take them out of such environments where they're not supposed to be. But if we just let it be, their minds, their innocent minds will become indoctrinated and it will be too late for us to act when they are already poisoned in their minds. So sabak time, homework time is also a very important part of family time and building the bond together. Then on some general notes with regards to our conduct at home, the home must be an environment of love and muhabbat. The father, sometimes he's a CEO in a company, sometimes he's a director, sometimes he's holding some big esteemed post, and he feels that the way he's treated in his company, the respect that he's showed, and the people look up to him and speak to him in a certain way, that must be the same thing that happens in the house. It can't be like that. You may be a CEO, you may be a director, you may be the boss in the company, but in the home, you are the father figure, you are a father to your children, you are a husband to your wife. You have to treat your family members in a different way. You have to treat them with love and affection and muhabbat and not expect them to treat you like how you are treated in your esteemed position or in your honored position in your workplace. It can't work like that. They are normal human beings. They are your household members. You have to come down and let them, obviously within the parameters of respect and within the parameters of adab, but you can't expect them to treat you how you are treated in your workplace. It doesn't work. So love is a very important component in building the home. When there is love in the home and the children love their parents, then because of the love they have for their parents, the slightest displeasure that they may experience from the side of the parents if they do something wrong will quickly stop them from doing that wrong. Because they will, because of the love that they have for their parents, they wouldn't want to see their parents becoming more displeased and being displeased for a longer time. So if there is love and we beat our children with love and muhabbat, then it will be easier for them to bond with us, to respect us, and to show us that care and concern that a child is supposed to show his parents. Another important thing when it comes to the home or the environment of the home is assisting and helping. As the father of the home, as the father of the house, a man should never feel it below his dignity to assist in the household chores, to help with the children, to help with the other affairs of the home. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned, carried the greatest responsibility. But in his home, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mend his own clothes, he would clean his own clothes, he would milk the goat, he would do the household chores that a normal man is supposed to do as a lesson for us, as a lesson for us that we should not deem it below our dignity to assist. So let alone washing the dishes, that's a far-fetched idea sometimes, but at least when you finish eating, pick up your own plate, your own cup, your own teacup and take it to the sink. If it means just rinsing it, rinse it and put it away. By you assisting in the household chores, slightly, in some way, it will earn the appreciation of your wife. It will earn the appreciation. Before that, it will be, if you do it with the correct niyat, you will be earning sawab for this in emulation of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firstly. Secondly, you will earn the appreciation of your wife and she will be happy and pleased that you are an assistive person in the home. And thirdly, you will set the correct example for your children that they will also realize that you are supposed to help and assist in the home. And the second last point is salah. The home must be modeled around salah. When salah is taken out of the equation, then there cannot be happiness, barakah and mercy in the home. The entire household has to be modeled around salah. The parents have to have the fikr of salah, that everything must work with salah. When it's salah time, everything else has to stop and go for salah. The father goes to the masjid to salah. The mother is reading salah in the house in a place where the daughters can see her. The father is going to the masjid when his children of age, is taking them to the masjid. So they realize that salah is an important and fundamental component of a Muslim home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your household, you stay firm on salah and command your household members on salah as well. Obviously, this has to be done practically. The father cannot be chanting that slogan of perform salah, make sure you read namaz, go to the masjid. He himself is not a namazi. He doesn't come in the masjid, but he's chanting the slogans of come to the masjid, advising. It's hoped, inshallah, it will take an effect on the child. But the child sees the practical demonstration of the father and emulates that and copies that. Simple example, father is a smoker, smoking away, he's got a cigarette in his mouth, he sees his son, he tells his son, I see you with a cigarette in your mouth, I'll break your hand. Same time he's blowing the smoke out of his mouth. Now, how much can you expect the child to absorb? He's seeing the father doing the vice, doing the wrong, but at the same time he's trying to stop the child from that. Doesn't make sense. We have to be practical parents, practically show them deen so that they know what is deen. And the last point to discuss is screen time. Screen addiction. Screen addiction is a very, very great misfortune that has befallen all of us, or many of us, where the wife is waiting the whole day. It can work both ways. We're just giving from the side of the husband first. The wife is waiting for the whole day for the husband to come home, to come spend time with the family. The children are waiting to come and talk to, father must come and talk to them, spend time with them. Because he's been at work the whole day, generally only in the evening he has time to spend with them. But when he comes home, from the time he walks into the house, he's on his phone. He's on his phone when he enters the house, he doesn't make salam properly also. He goes sit down to eat, he's on his phone. He's having a cup of tea, he's on his phone. All the time he's on his phone, he's lost in his phone, he's lost in his screen addiction. What time is he giving his children? What attention is he giving his children? And sometimes you have the other side also, that the wife is also a screen addict. The children sometimes are also screen addicts because unfortunately this filth of this mobile phone, with its good that it may have, but the evils that it has in it, has taken away much, much good and values from our homes. So there has to be some control systems. Most people can't live without the phone because for whatever reason it has to be part of the component of life now. But there has to be some control systems. Ulama explained, like for example, there must be some parameters. There must be some no screen time, like eating time, time when ta'lim is taking place. Other times when the family is interacting and talking, there must be no screen time allowed at that time. Phones must be put away. Parents' phones also put away. Time of eating, etc. Then there must also be some no-go zones. Certain places in the house must be cell-free places. The place where you're going to be, in your living area, where you're going to be sitting and eating, etc. Try to keep your phones away from there, so that children are not influenced also by being perpetually stuck with the phones. And there's time and room to communicate and talk. And together with that, there must be controls on data, Wi-Fi, etc. It shouldn't be free for all, that all the time children have access to go on the internet as much as they want, do whatever they want, because that is what brings in a lot of problems, a lot of issues and difficulties into the home, which they are learning from outside. They are bringing the evil and the filth via the internet into the home, and it is difficult to fix it up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillah.